Welcome to the I Create Daily podcast. I'm Leora Alderson.
And I'm Devani Alderson. We're your co-hosts on this journey of creativity and productivity.
I Create Daily is for artists in every genre of creating, from musicians to writers, crafters to inventors, bloggers to entrepreneurs. I Create Daily is a movement for creators serious about your art.
If you're into creating anything, this podcast is definitely for you. Thank you so much for joining us on this journey. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the I Create Daily podcast. I Create Daily is a movement for creators serious about their art. I'm Devani.
I'm Leora. And our guest today is Brian Wright, founder of Gravity Images, which is a video, photography, and audio production company. Brian has lifelong experience as a production, staging, and audio engineer, recording artist, and prolific creator, serving clients of all sizes, including behemoths like eBay and PayPal. But that's not all. His company, Gravity Images, photography and video work has been published by media giants like Forbes, Business Insider, and TechCrunch. Welcome, Brian.
Thank you very much. What an intro. You guys are awesome.
So are you. Yeah, definitely. It's awesome to have you. And as we were just saying before we started recording, this is your first interview, video podcast interview. So now we get to turn the camera on you. So what is your story? How did you get started in your creative work? How did it become your life work?
Well, first of all, before I get into any of that, I felt like it was almost disingenuous to you guys to show up on a podcast with coffee-obsessed people without some coffee of my own.
Absolutely.
Amazing.
Absolutely.
Oh, I got some really, really good coffee. It's like my safety blanket for this.
Nice. Well, you're in California, right?
Yes. San Francisco Bay Area.
San Francisco. And we're in North Carolina. So we're in Eastern time, three coffees ahead of you.
Oh, boy. I call this liquid smart.
Yeah. So, yes.
How did I get started? Wow. It's been a really incredible journey, because I've spent most of my life, there are a bunch of things that I do, and most of my life and work has been spent as a writer. Honestly, I've been writing professionally for a really long time for, again, some of those same big corporations all over the world. I've been in Silicon Valley since 99, so been doing it here for a while. I like to say I've been laid off from some of the best companies in the world. But doing that was kind of what my life was all about. And it's about creating. It's about it's about finding the right message for customers. It's about putting yourself in customers' shoes. And if you can't, you know, for me, my philosophy was always, if you can't put yourself in your customers' shoes, you're not going to be able to have the most effective content that you can. So I did that for a lot of years. And in the last... Boy, I started working for eBay/PayPal in 2007, and I was there for about 10 years. And I started there as a writer, and about halfway through that, one of my mentors came to me. She was a VP, and she had some familiarity with the fact that I had just started getting into video and photography and some other things as a result of some other hobbies that I have. And she came to me one day, she pulled me aside and she goes, we've got a whole bunch of footage that these executives shot at a Home Depot release that we're having for this product that we're going to put out. I wonder if you could, know anybody who could cut this together for me, for a global all hands in 4 days, wink, wink. And I was like, okay, what do you need? She sent me the footage. I took a look at it. It was completely unusable. She knew that she trusted me enough to actually go out and do this on my own. So what I told her was, hey, we got to go get every single one of these executives. These were just guys shooting cameras, nothing of themselves, nothing of them talking, nothing of them talking about strategy or anything. So it was basically all just a bunch of garbagey B-roll by people who don't know how to shoot a camera.
Right.
And I said, we have to reshoot this whole thing. Like, this is too much. Like, and getting executives from big corporations in one place all at the same time is very nearly impossible, especially with a 4-day window. And so we got lucky, actually. We got really lucky. There was an all hands that was happening with all the executives. It was like an executive retreat at a local hotel, like just down the street from us. And I said, let's go over there and let's just like write up 5 questions. I'm going to set up a set with my own camera gear, it was just me and my camera stuff. And I said, I'll just do some interviews with these guys and they can just tap the next person on the shoulder and send them out and go back to their meeting. And it should be really easy. So we did that. I hastily cut a hilarious cut of this thing together within that 4 days. It aired to the entire global organization. And the second that it did, I got dogpiled on by everybody in the corporation worldwide. They're like, how do I do this for my group? Like, what is this video? I want to, like, how can I do this? This costs so much to do. Did we do, like, who did this?
Yeah.
So while continuing on my writer journey, and I was actually a very senior person within the writing organization at PayPal, as part of the user experience and user interface and design team, which is under product. So I was kind of doing that while all these requests were coming in, and I just talked to my management and I said, do you want me to do this stuff? And they're like, yes, go, just do the thing. If you can hold it down, just go. Okay. So I started doing it in about 15 productions all over the world later on my own equipment with no support from anybody except, you know, travel budget and stuff. It was clearly obvious that this was a real need inside the corporation. So what I did was, at that time, there was a different VP over my organization. And I went to that VP and I said, listen, obviously there's a huge need for this worldwide. How about we just give me some money and a space and we'll make this my job for real? And he goes, here's $250,000. Go build me a studio.
Wow.
So
like every creator's dream, right?
Yeah.
Especially inside of a job, if you're not on your own doing your own thing, it's just sort of like if you're inside a company and you have this creative outlet or this opportunity for an amazing creative outlet, which is a really interesting segue to sort of how, if you are working with a company, how can you kind of expand your role and bring up like, hey, I have this creative potential that we could be utilizing, and just sort of as a way to also have that secure day job, which a lot of people are worried about, you know, how does the money work? So that's interesting.
That's a good point that you make, because I mean, honestly, as a creator, it can be, I don't know, creators have a type, shall we say. I'm one of those particular types. I'm really good at creating stuff, but I'm really bad at marketing stuff or caring about the data behind it, or if it involves numbers, I run screaming. And
I can relate. I can relate for sure.
Yeah. So I like to call this like, anyway, so just to finish that out, like before I move on to answer your question, I just ended up doing that. I built a studio for PayPal. It was just me for 2 years. It was run and gun. It was me with a camera all over the place, and I was the audio guy and the lighting guy and the electrician and the gaffer and the grip and the director and the producer and the editor and the, like, I was like everything, doing all of it. And eventually I got some people and they, you know, we built it up. It ultimately became a pretty big space, about 2,000 square feet of world-class production space inside the company. So we had a space and it was beautiful. But that whole journey is, to your point, Devani, is this whole idea that the thing that helped spark me and push me in this direction to get to Gravity Image, to get to Crash Course Camera, to get to whatever I've got going right now, is this idea of being able to hone your entrepreneurial chops while having the support of a big corporation. It's like you said, it's kind of like entrepreneurship with training wheels.
Yeah.
Because you've got budget, you've got, you know, people that believe in you, you've got your support, your network, and you've got, you know, all the resources behind you to make this happen that you don't have to put out there yourself. I call it intrapreneurship. I don't even know if that's a word.
It is, yeah.
But basically that's what I was doing, and that's how I honed my craft. I was so terrified. My lifelong occupation of a writer to go, I'm going to go do this now. Left turn, what's going to happen? No clue. Complete blackness out in front of me. I had no idea. And it can be really, really scary, but it's because of that fear but I had belief in myself too. I mean, I've got a lot of the skills from audio, lifelong audio engineering, long before I ever got to photography and video, that sort of translate well. The software workflows translate well. I know a lot about it. I accidentally made a 40-minute video that was featured on the biggest mountaineering site on the internet.
Accidentally.
Just in your free time.
it was literally my first film I ever made, and it turned out to be this 40-minute thing, and they picked it up as the trip report of the month.
Wow.
And they got a lot of traffic off of that. But I only made it because I was, like, out in the wild with some stupid, you know, camera just shooting dumb video clips. And I was uploading dumb single, you know, 25-second video clips to my YouTube channel and just being ridiculous. And I got back from this one particular expedition in 2011. And I went, you know, rather than doing this clips thing, I could probably just make a movie out of this. So I made that, and you go, and then you go, and then you go. And so in order to sustain that creativity, just to answer your question, it's having some fear, I think, is important. Having something that you're very passionate about. The things that you care about are the things that you're most going to be successful at. Mm-hmm. You be able to believe in yourself enough and your own skills enough that even if you don't know the answer right now, you know that you can figure it out.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really important aspect of being successful in this way. So, you know, once I left PayPal, I had had all this experience. By this time, I had been managing people. I had been managing, you know, hardcore IT infrastructure. I had been doing all these, like, really serious things that I could have gone to another company like a Google or a Facebook or a whomever and said, hey, I want to do this for you guys. But I just was like, I can do this. It's going to be basically taking a few steps back. I like chose to be poor, if you will. and that's kind of, that's sort of a joke, but it's like, it is, you got to roll it back. I don't have the people. I don't have the giant financial resources. I don't have all this stuff anymore, but I can do this and I can make it go. And through the amazing help of some really key people that I met at the time, Josh and Jill Stanton of Screw the 9 to 5, and some other folks that have been really influential in helping push me toward being creative every single day and being able to make creativity my job. You just kind of go toward it.
Yeah.
So hopefully that answers the question. But that repetitive, that belief in you, that having the drive to actually go out and do it, that being scared of not knowing what's out there. You know, my mentor that asked me to create that very first video for PayPal, she was on the back end of me trying to make this transition. And I was kind of sitting on her office going, hey, is this a terrible idea? Like, I feel like I'm just terrified. This is this feels like the worst thing ever. I'm stable in my writing career. And she said, what's the worst thing that can happen? You're not going to get fired for wanting to take on more responsibility. So just go ask. Like, I happen to know.
Yeah.
You know, she was like, go.
Yeah.
Get going.
That's fantastic.
So you just had to do it.
You were so fortunate to have that supportive, kind of open-minded, visionary person to help guide you in that direction. One of the things, I mean, there's so many different aspects we could talk about of the story that you just shared, one of which is, like, some of our audience are writers and would like to know, what they most of them want to know is, can I make a living at my art? And so some of them as writers, like you were working on payroll, full-time for PayPal, eBay as a writer. So yes, you can, but they needed a bit. I mean, this is the thing that most people don't realize. This huge company didn't yet have its own video production team. And part of the reason is because all this movement into video and accessibility of video and proliferation of video and audio is still fairly new, especially for larger corporations that are big ships that move slowly. And so what many creatives have as an opportunity, either if they're already working full-time as you were, or if they're freelance looking for some bigger clients, is that there are corporations that are definitely hiring freelancers on a temporary basis or even, you know, like an ongoing basis to fill some of those needs. So that's one opportunity. Same thing with writers. If someone was on the outside of a company like that looking to try and get a contract, do you have any advice of how they might approach them?
This is something that, looking back on my corporate career and looking at the way that sort of my video role at eBay/PayPal sort of unfolded, I feel like one of the best things that somebody could do on the outside of an organization like that is it's the same thing that I did. I just happen to have access to the internals, but basically do the thing that you want to do for them. Prove that there is a need. If you just write emails and say, hey, I'm a really great writer, I can really do these things, blah, blah, blah. That's great, but everybody says that.
Right.
What people want to see is action, and they want to see corporations are especially blind. Big companies are especially blind. They don't know what they even need. And the big value proposition, I'll give a good example that can apply to writing, it can apply to video or any other creative discipline within a big corporate structure. They were addicted to spending a ton of money on agencies to create video. And that's all fine. A lot of big companies do this. However, if you look at that situation, there's a marketing team or a brand team that has to interface with that creative organization. They're often hiring more than one agency to create more than one video. And sometimes the marketing team or the brand team is not using the same agency as the product team or this team or this micro team or this micro team. There's like hundreds of these little cells inside a corporation that, because of the nature of the organization, don't really get talked about amongst one another or consolidated in a way that makes sense. So what's going on is, and this is true of writers and other things, other disciplines, but they are spending a lot of money and by extension time. The brand team and the marketing team have to explain the product, what the product does, who the audience is, what the point of it is, in order for the creatives to even at the agency to even be able to begin to go, okay, well, maybe let's go away for a week and think about what this video written piece, marketing piece, microsite, whatever needs to be. And then they come back, four or five times in a row, having meetings and more meetings and more meetings, getting up to speed on this thing. If you know that company and you're inside that company already, I had the advantage of being on the inside to know that I already knew these products. As a writer, I covered every one of the products across the company. So I kind of knew how these things are working, who they're targeted at, what all the other things. And I could just go straight to the team and go, hey, how about you don't spend $150,000 and I make this for you for 15 or 20 grand instead, right? Like, they're like, holy crap. And also, I'm just downstairs. You can come down and knock on my door anytime. And we only have to have one meeting to explain, all these other things.
Yeah.
And through that, I was able to save the company millions of dollars. Literally in my first year of operation with just me, I think I calculated out something like $3.4 million I saved for the number of productions I created, that if you had taken that number to an agency versus what I cost to do it.
Wow. Yeah.
It's a big dollar figure. And so I guess what I'm saying is, for other creatives on the outside looking to try and figure this out, how to crack into that either on a contract or something else, do the thing that you can see the opportunity for that company. These companies don't talk internally. They don't know what they need internally often. So to be able to, and what I mean by do the thing is, for me, that sometimes means just making a contact, developing a relationship, and then doing a project for free. Honestly, if your heart is in it and your passion is there, it's going to come through. It seems like free work, but the only way that I was able to make this happen inside a company that, like, if I had gone to my mentor and said, hey, you know what? We need a video studio. They're like, no, we don't. We got agencies. Bye. Catch you later. That would have been the end of that conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
But because they saw something that came out the other side, they went, wow, what is, holy, that was the tipping point that made them go, oh, maybe we need something like this. That was me working for free because I already had a job as a writer and I was holding down my writing job at the same time running around the world doing these first 15 or so productions that ultimately netted me the thing.
Yeah.
So
that's important. The offering value, it's almost like instead of like just showing up with your resume and being like, this is all the stuff I can do, which the 15, 20, 30, 100 other people are doing as well. It's like showing up and like, let me show you my resume. Let me like show you what I can provide to you. And the back-end value to your company that it'll have. And I know a lot of people are starting to speak up about the value of doing free work, the value of just showing up and adding the value of the content that you're creating first. And because a lot of times people promise so many things, and so now we're almost weary to, oh, you're promising all this stuff. Are you actually going to deliver, or are we just wasting our time? Because their side is, you know, and you have the confidence that you can pull it off, but the company, no matter how big or small they are, they're looking at it like, well, I have no idea if you can actually pull this off. You say you can.
And you're just one voice in a sea of men.
Yeah. Right, exactly. So as for writers specifically, I will say that some of my clients are some big names in entrepreneurship out there right now. And I've been part of the process. As a video creator, I kind of have to work with the writers and the web developers in order to make cohesive web spaces for these people. And in doing that, you know, I used to be on the other side of that, where I was the writer working with the video guy and the web people to make that thing happen. But having heard a number of these folks going through struggles with content people, with writers, and when they finally find the writer that they knew, like they didn't know could do the job, but they discovered through their work that they are just killing it, that it transformed their business, honestly. And so that's what I'm saying is, like, these folks that are the writers that were discovered by my clients were, they were definitely looking for work. And I'm not exactly sure of the, you know, the nature of the way that those relationships developed. But honestly, if you can show somebody, like, take a company's webpage or some kind of, just rewrite the whole thing, cut it down from, you know, three scrollable pages to like a couple of paragraphs. One of the things that I used to do all the time, to the dismay of the legal team at eBay, was to take terms and conditions, which are awful, awful reading, right. Awful. Nobody has ever read one of those in the history of the world. Right. But my job in certain projects was to take agreements thing and cut it down, take all the legal speak out, completely rewrite it without changing the intent or the meaning or the legal veracity of the content itself. And the legal people were like, don't touch it. But in working with them, I was able to just, you actually could read the thing, and you could, that's like a normal language that people understood. It did not change the, what the legality of the content meant. So that's, of course, one of a billion opportunities. But, you know, for writers specifically, you know, that's something that I would look at. That's really boring writing. But you could take any web page on any website. So many of these big corporations have the worst websites. One of the biggest pain points for PayPal was their help site. Nobody wants to touch it. It's awful, boring content and blah, blah, blah. Like, so, like, there's this backwater in the company, and every company like that size has one. It's a backwater where everybody's like, ugh, I don't.
It's like the elephant in the room that we all just kind of like, eeh.
Yeah. And because they're that way, they also don't get funding. They don't get buy-in from the executives. They don't get a sponsorship. They don't get, like, all these things from internal that an organization needs to succeed. People, creators of all kinds, whether that's UX, UI, writers, video, audio, artists, crafts people, whatever, you can find those areas where it's not that hard. Everything is out on the internet these days. And if we're talking about, you know, web-based workflows and kind of entrepreneurship online, and I work from my house here in San Jose, but I'm traveling all over the world making films for people. So this is not something you have to do right here. You can go out and find those opportunities really easily. It does take some work.